All right, Bruce, it's time for a little bonus action here on Something to Wrestle. One of our top fivers, Mr. Chris Vining, has suggested that we talk about why Steve Austin's heel turn was awful. And we get lots of questions about this because I think a lot of people look at WrestleMania 17 and say, oh, it's one of the best shows ever. And then there's other people like myself who say, nah, I don't know. And I have that attitude just because I didn't like the heel turn. And we're going to talk about WrestleMania 17 some other time, I'm sure, but chat me up. Why do you think the Austin heel turn was bungled?
Real simple. The whole idea behind the Austin heel turn was you do the turn with Steve, and we even talked about not necessarily doing the turn at WrestleMania, that we would do the turn with Steve, and then we would get to Steve being the champion once again, Rock kind of going away for a little bit, and bringing Hunter back in, and Hunter, who had left as a heel, Hunter comes back and do a double switch with Steve and Hunter, where Steve becomes a heel and Hunter becomes the babyface in the scenario. And now you have a new dynamic with those two guys, with Hunter now chasing the heel champion Stone Cold and reversing roles. Now, Michael Hayes and I had come up with this whole long, elaborate, literal 6-month arc that we had pitched these guys, and Hunter hated it initially, and Steve wasn't really crazy about it initially. And so, because we were pitching them one-on-one, and it was like, I pitch Steve and then I pitch Hunter, and then they would talk. And then there was never a time where, and Michael would pitch them and at different times. And there was never really a time where we had everybody in the same room at the same time. So Steve would get what I said, then he would get what Michael said, then he would get what Hunter said. Same thing with Hunter, same thing, you know, back and forth with Michael. You know, we'd each get kind of different feedback. So we got together in San Jose, California. I remember it. We were in the trainer's room, and it was the four of us, and laid out, Michael and I together laid out the whole 6-month arc, or however long it was, to both guys, and why it made sense for Hunter to come back and be the baby face and Steve to be the heel and let Hunter chase him. And all of a sudden, man, it was almost like a friggin' Eureka moment. And they looked at us, oh my God, I love it. That, you know, it was one of those, well, Michael, you said this when you talked to me, and well, Bruce, you told me this, and it was all of us together at the same time. So if anybody had questions or feedback or anything like that, ask us now. And they left and said that they loved it. Everybody was on board. That was right about the time, timing wise, that conversation took place the week of the first XFL game. Ugh. Okay. So we go to the XFL deal, and I remember seeing Stephanie sitting up in the stands, and she was on the phone and doing a lot of work. And that night I got a, just for your information, Hunter doesn't love the idea of turning babyface. And Michael was sitting right there. Michael and I both chime in and says, well, he sure did on Tuesday night when we pitched him. Well, he doesn't. And that was the first inkling that
there's a problem.
Well, A, there's a problem. It was also the first inkling that, oh, this Stephanie Hunter thing might have turned itself into a shoot.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Because it was very weird, and it was much more coming from a place of not just business and not just, you know, sharing, you know, I don't feel this right now. So we went back to the drawing board, and Michael and I called Hunter and said, "Hey, I understand you don't like it." No, I mean, I just don't understand this. I'd rather be a heel. And don't you think it's better if Steve and I have a power trip and we just destroy everybody? And we're like, what do you mean?
Right.
Who do you work with? Well, we work with all the baby faces. We work with everybody, but we destroy everybody. Okay. Then what? Well, then we find somebody, you know, and then they, you know, they start to, you know, come back on us and everything. And we'll build WrestleMania next year with whoever that right guy is. I don't know if it's Rock or who that is. I said, a year is a long time to just for a 2-man power trip to beat the fuck out of everybody and have, and the idea was no hope. So that became kind of for us a challenge of, I don't know how to do that.
Right.
I mean, it's easy to do. Just beat everybody.
Bob Holly style.
Yeah. But then what? Then right. What do you do? So, and we were looking for something new, and Hunter being a babyface was new. Steve being a heel was new. And that, just those two gave us 6 months worth of material on top, where we've got everybody else to play with underneath and all this time to build people underneath to get up and get back in that mix and everything else. But on top are, our main issue was going to be Steve and Triple H. And man, it was, I want to say it was fighting City Hall, but it was about as difficult can be trying to, once both of those guys had in their head that the only way to do this is if we're both heels. I think that both Steve and Hunter had actually convinced themselves at that time that it was okay. And we were in such a position in the company that it was okay for them to go through every baby face, even every heel, just everybody. And that no one could stop this 2-man dynamic of Austin and Hunter. And we're like, okay. Interesting. And that's the way that it started. And that's the way it started. And then from there, I guess Hunter got hurt and we had the whole alliance that was dying 1,000 deaths. Then Steve got hurt with the whole alliance deal. And there was no place to put Steve. There was no place for him to really fit in. Because he was hurt. So, okay, make Steve the leader of the alliance. And nobody bought that. And everybody hated it.
What's, so what's Vince saying about, you know, the report back that Hunter may not love it?
Talk to him. Sell him. Fix it. What does he want? This is the first I'm hearing of it. So fix it. And we tried to fix it. And it felt like the more we tried to fix it, the further behind we got.
Right.
And the more we tried to fix it, the more they dug in with, we have to be the 2-man power trip and we have to kill everybody. And when we came out of WrestleMania, man, that was the directive almost. That the directive was, hey, they're going to kill everybody and we'll figure it out. But for the guys on the wrestling side, it was frustrating because no matter what you do, you still want to have that lining of hope underneath. You want a rumbling of hope somewhere.
Sure.
But they felt this is different, never been done. For the heel just to dominate, and there is no hope. There is no hope. I just think psychologically that it was flawed from the very beginning. And when we got into the injuries and we got into the alliance and we got into all the shit that we got into with WCW, it became an uphill battle to keep Steve, no matter what we did. The more, and here was the other thing, because there was no hot baby face on the horizon or anybody for Steve to truly fight, the fact that he was a heel and the heelish things he did, that made people love him even more. So when you don't have a really strong baby face for him to be the antagonist to, well, fuck, he's winning all the time. Of course I love him. Same thing with that. If you're beating everybody up, there's no hope. I might as well get behind the winners. And people started cheering Steve again. And that became the battle for Vince, is the guy, how do I get people to hate him? And we kept coming back. Well, they don't want to hate him.
Right.
They love him. So it was just an ongoing battle. And as we got into even the shit with, you put him with the ECW guys and you got Rob Van Dam, who's supposed to be a heel, because he's with ECW and the Alliance, right?
Right.
You put him with Steve Austin, and they're entertaining as hell. Just doing off-the-cuff shit. One more reason to cheer him. One more reason to love him. And Steve was outshining in that group. He outshone everybody. And it just sucked. I mean, it just absolutely, positively sucked. To the point to where Vince was like, if you can't, you know, we can't fight City Hall anymore, turn Steve back and let's drop this. And that's what we did.
I mean, talk me through though, who sort of green lights, I'm not trying to beat up on you here, but we're going to have him wear little funny hats and sing and he's a bad guy.
It's entertaining.
I'm not arguing.
He's not working. God damn it. He's not working. Who the hell cares? It's entertaining. I'm going to watch him. But that shit, like you say, that shit was so fucking good.
Yeah. Everybody's going to like that.
It was funny. It was entertaining as shit. And look at who Steve, who his foil was Kurt Angle. And some people, you know, Kurt had been a heel off and on. Kurt wasn't that entrenched baby face. And he was heel back and forth. So now Steve is picking on another heel in Kurt. Well, of course I'm going to like Steve that much more.
Right.
Neither guy could go out and work, but yet the most entertaining segments that we had a lot of times on the show were Steve and Kurt. Bullshitting. The two guys that can't go to the house shows or work a pay-per-view are the ones that are drawing the numbers here and entertaining the fuck out of you.
You know, when you sort of said a minute ago, when I said, what did Vince say? And you said, he said, just go fix it. Is there a situation where Vince is like, God damn it, I've got to tell him he's got to do it. Or is it more about in this era, let's just fucking get along to get along.
At the time that all this was coming up and Vince said to us, just go fix it.
And the XFL is taking over his life.
XFL, we're doing everything else under the sun. And it's like, if I have you guys in charge of something, I expect you to be able to be in charge of it.
Sure. Not an unrealistic request. Yeah.
Go take charge of it. So we would go in and Vince did not have the time to take every single phone call. But I guarantee you, if Steve called, he took it. If Hunter called, he took it. But he wasn't going to get into that fight. He wasn't going to get into that battle with them on the phone. We'll see you at TV. We can talk about it if we have time. So Vince telling us to fix it during the time between the TVs is when we had to be on the phone with these guys and talking to them day in and day out and trying to pitch things to them. But it was also being away from them and not having the input of Vince to support us was allowing them to get entrenched even more.
Right.
So when we got into it so far, and then it's like, okay, we'll do it. and there wasn't a fear of WCW was gone. Wasn't a fear. We weren't in a ratings war anymore. And Vince had even said, it's okay if we take, you know, 3 steps back and only 2 forward at this time. It's okay. We have that luxury right now. Maybe we should try it. And we tried it. Not everything works. And this was one where I used to get on Vince all the time about, allow us to fail. Allow us to take an idea all the way through and let it fail. And this was probably the closest that he came to letting the talent take an idea and showing him where it failed.
Do you remember having a conversation? I mean, obviously years later, Austin would say that was a mistake, but do you remember having a conversation like that with him where he says, God damn, kid, really fucked that one up, didn't we?
Oh boy. You know, specifically, no, but I mean, philosophically, yes. You know, where we would say, you know what, if we had only, we had 2 options to try things. We had one way to do the double turn. We had the other way to go heel heat. We'll never know what would happen if we had done the double turn. So, again, I just the fact that the heat magnet thing, did not work and didn't get over the way that everyone thought it was, just makes you believe that the double turn would have. I don't think it would. I definitely don't think it would have been as bad, but is what it is. But that's the reason. And that's the, kind of what went down and what happened with the whole Stone Cold heel turn. And then in the middle of it, him getting injured, not being able to work, didn't help things either.
How much of a pay cut do you think Austin took turning heel?
I don't think he did.
You don't think merch slipped at all?
No, they still were buying his shit.
Isn't that crazy?
It is. I mean, they still came out for him, man. They still loved him. He was their guy.
In hindsight, is this a peek into your future of you've got sort of marching orders from Vince and you've got to try to make it work and fix it, all this, and then Stephanie tells you Hunter doesn't like something and now everybody's got to try to figure out how to make everybody happy?
You know, I think that was just the way we did business. And that's the reality of it sometimes, is a lot of times you're writing for one guy. That one guy is Vince McMahon.
You know, there's a very smart guy in wrestling who told me years ago, and I guess that's more true now than ever, but WWE is written for an audience of one. What's your take on that statement?
Well, to a point it's true. But at the same time, I'll take that one guy and his track record, every day of the week. So he's got a pretty damn good track record, but I do believe sometimes you got to try other things on.
Well, we tried something new on with Austin as a heel here on Top of the World, and you wanted to try it and you did. And I guess we all get to see the results, and hopefully you guys dug a little peek behind the curtain today. And as we examined Chris Vining's example of why the heel turn from Steve Austin didn't really work. It's, I guess that's pretty cut and dry.
It really is. But it's one of the questions I think that we both get, we get asked an awful lot, and I'm glad that we got to cover it, because that in a nutshell is pretty much why it did.
Well, we've got more bonus content coming your way. We're working on getting together a guest, and of course we've got another top fiver selection. We wanted to go ahead and fire up Chris Vining's selection. We appreciate your support and being a top fiver. And we're going to continue to crank out this bonus content for you guys. Thanks for sticking with us. We've obviously been busier than one arm paper hangers with StarCast, but now that's behind us and we're back in the saddle, man. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the live show that we were able to post from San Antonio with our special guest JBL. And we may or may not have a special guest in Nashville based on the rumor and innuendo that I've been hearing.
Who knows? You never know, man. Dave Silva will be there.
I'm sure he will. Lots of inside jokes on the next episode of Something to Wrestle that you'll hear very soon. But until next time, we'll see you back right here on Patreon, or as we like to say on Tony's show, on Patreon.